First Peter chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 13. First Peter chapter 3. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. I hope those young people didn't wear y'all out. I hope they didn't make y'all tired. Y'all give me a few minutes, please. First Peter chapter 3, verse 13. If you have it, say agape. Amen. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And it says, and who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather for doing what is wrong. And from this, we want to use as a title, trying to do good in a world that's gone bad. You may be seated. Trying to do good in a world that is gone bad. Trying to do good. You know, help me out. Help me out. God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. What about God's people? Can we say the same thing about God's people are good? And all the time? No. Now see, if we serve a good God, the good God that we serve expects his people to be good. Amen. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what's going on in society. Doesn't matter how bad this world gets. God still expects his people to be good. To be good, to be good. And that's what Peter is laying out in the text. God's people were facing imminent persecution. God's people were going through hard times and difficult times. And God, through his servant Peter, writes this letter to encourage his people that God still expects us to do good, even in a world that's gone bad. This world that we live in right now, beloved, is gone bad. The world that we live in right now, the love of many is growing cold. But the people of God, now it's time for us to turn up the heat. Now it's time for us to let our light shine like never before. Now is not the time. Now is not the time for us to wave the white flag. Now is not the time for us to get tired in doing what's right. Get tired in doing what's good. Now is the time for us to turn it up another notch, because this world that we live in is gone bad. It's gone bad. It's gone bad. The Antichrist is already setting up shop. He's already setting up shop. And what you and I have to do, we have to be determined to do the right thing, even during times like these. What about God? If God is good all the time, he expects us to be good all the time. We are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And so God expects us to do good. And I'm going to get right to it. Number one, as Christians, these are all B's this morning, all B's. As Christians, we should be bent on doing good. As Christians, we should be bent on doing good. Say bent. We should be bent on doing good. Look what the text says. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? We should be bent on doing good. In other words, Peter is saying there is nothing keeping us from doing good. Absolutely nothing keeping us, preventing us from doing good. You know, growing up back in the day, when we got ready to get into a fight, some of y'all know what I'm talking about because y'all were fighters. Back in the day, when you got ready to get into a fight, one person may say, well, man, ain't nothing but space between us. If you want something, ain't nothing but space between you and me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And really, listen, there ain't nothing but space between us and doing good. Are y'all with me? There is absolutely nothing preventing God's people from doing good. And he says we ought to prove zealous. Zealous means having a desire, having a passion to do good. We should be bent. We should be determined to do good. There's nothing hindering us from doing good. Nothing hindering us from doing good. This is what Peter is trying to get us to understand. Now, I want y'all to catch this. This is a passage of scripture in Proverbs 16:7. Proverbs 16:7. This is big. And we should be bent on doing good because God can cause our enemies to act right. Are y'all with me this morning? You and I ought to be bent on doing good. He said, who is there to harm you? Who is there to harm you? God can cause our enemies to do good when we're pursuing goodness. God will make our enemies behave. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Oh, y'all better hear me this morning. When you and I are bent on doing good, God has a way of still making our enemies behave. Oh, y'all better hear me this morning. There's a passage in the Old Testament with Jacob and Esau. Jacob stole Esau's birthright. Esau wanted to do Jacob harm. Jacob knew that he was going to be meeting with Esau. Jacob sent a peace offering. He did good by his brother Esau. Well, by the time he got to Esau, I'm paraphrasing, but by the time he got to Esau and Esau saw all the good that Jacob did, you know what? Esau was all right. God will make our enemies behave when we are bent on doing good. You got to hear me this morning. That's why it's important for us to have on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness, because the enemy will dare us to do good. The enemy will dare us to do good. And there's nothing that can stop us from doing good. As a matter of fact, each day that God gives us another day, God gives us breath in our body, we ought to wake up and purpose in our hearts and in our minds that we're going to do good that day. God sent somebody my way that I could do good by today. That should be our mindset. We should be bent on doing good. And in light of all this evil that's going around, and all this bad stuff going around, we ought to be bent on doing good. Galatians 6:9-10 says this. Oh, thank you. Someone shared a video with me. There's a young guy called himself, I think it's Mr. Polite or whatever it is. But this guy, y'all really need to hear this. And young people particularly. This guy's message, and not just him, there are several others, message is this. That people have been waiting on Jesus to come for over 2,000 years, and he's still not here. And instead of you waiting on somebody who's not coming, you may as well do whatever it is you want to do. He had 2.1 million viewers on his video. And imagine those 2.1 million, who knows how many they shared it with. Are y'all hearing me this morning? And his mindset is, because of all of the evil that's going on in the world, there can't be no Jesus coming back. Are y'all hearing me this morning? And time is out for the body of Christ to quit playing church and start being the church. Listen, it has to go beyond these walls, beloved. It has to go beyond these walls. How will the world know if the people of God aren't doing good? How in the world can we affect the world when we're throwing in the towel? Saying, I can't do good any longer because of what somebody did. No. We have to combat that by doing good. That's what I'm saying. We have to turn the heat up. Now is not the time to shrink back and stop doing good. Every time you have an opportunity to do good, do good. I'll show you in the text. Galatians 6:9-10 says this. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. To who? Who? All. To all. All. All means all. Don't like them? Do good. Talk behind your back? Do good. To all. To all. But then he said, especially to those who are the household of faith. Especially to other believers. We're to do good to non-believers and believers. He says, especially to those of the household of faith. Now, if we can't treat each other right, good God Almighty. Listen, oh my gosh. Nathaniel was up here worshiping in song, and he was saying something, y'all, how important it is for us to be one, even in worship. I don't know if y'all heard that. how important it is for us to be one, even in worship. Yeah. Now, if you have a problem with a brother or a sister in the church, you need to make that right. What good can I do to make the relationship better? Are y'all hearing me this morning?
Yeah.
We got to quit playing church. This is the word of God, especially to those who are the household of faith. We need to do good by one another. Jesus says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, when you have love one for another. Agape love, unconditional love. Doesn't matter what you do to me, I'm still going to do good to you because I love you. Don't tell me you love me and then you don't do good by me if I mess up on you. Come on now. We're human beings. Nobody in here is perfect. The Bible said there's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't get it right all the time. We don't get it right all the time. But that does not negate the fact that we're to still love each other and to do good to one another, especially those who are in the household of faith. So we must be bent on doing good. Number two, Christians are blessed. There's your other B. Christians are blessed even while suffering for doing good. Are y'all with me? Christians are blessed. Say blessed. Even while suffering for doing good. Look what it says. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. You are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. Christians are blessed even while suffering for doing good. Now, Peter is saying, look, God has a way of making our enemies behave. Yes, he can do that. And God will spare us when we do good. But then there come other times where we may suffer for still doing the right thing. And that's where many people quit and give up and throw in the towel. Because of the suffering. I'm blessed. We holler, I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, you ought to see how blessed I am. Oh, you ought to see my career. Oh, you ought to see the car that I got. You ought to see how God has blessed me with this and with that. God blessed me with a brand new watch. God blessed me with a brand new car. All of this stuff about blessed, but that's not what the text is teaching us. Do y'all understand? People that don't know Jesus got stuff. People don't have an ounce of Jesus in them, got stuff, got more stuff than us. So that does not equate God's favor on your life. No, that's just extra stuff that comes along the way. But if you really want to know what blessed is, the Bible tells us what blessed is. And I want to share that with you. See, how are we blessed when we suffer? How can you say I'm blessed and I'm suffering? Where's the blessing in that? I'm glad you asked. Look. Matthew 5:10-12 says this. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now here, we've got future blessings. I want to just share that with you all. We've got future blessings that are already stored up in heaven. So by you doing good, that's why the Bible says that we do good here on earth to store up treasures in heaven. In heaven. And so those are blessings that are to come. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has been tried, he shall receive the crown of life. That's futuristic blessings that God has stored up in heaven for us. Are y'all with me? Those are the spiritual blessings that God has. But let me really drop on you what blessed means. Being blessed really, really means. What being blessed really means is that I've got God on the inside of me. Oh, y'all better hear me this morning. Y'all better hear me this morning. That's I've got the favor of God. I've got God on the inside of me. And what the text is saying is that you are blessed even though you are suffering. See, let me come all the way. Come on home with this morning. Here it is. What's on the inside of me, God on the inside of me, so my circumstances externally can't touch what's going on internally. That's when you know you're blessed. When you got God living on the inside of you, all hell can be breaking loose on the outside, but that does not change the fact that I'm already sealed by Almighty God, and His Spirit lives inside of me. That's the favor of God that's resting on me. I've got God on the inside of me. So it doesn't matter what you do from the outside. I'm already blessed, and you can't do a thing about it. That's what it means to be blessed, is to have God living on the inside of your soul. Woo, it don't get no better than that, baby. It don't get no gooder than that. To have God on the inside, that's when you know you're blessed. See, you can walk around, make my day. Make my day, make my day. I've got God on the inside of me. That's what it means to be blessed. That's why He says you are blessed even if you suffer. Even if we suffer. Listen. Paul said it like this. Paul said it like this in Philippians 3:10. He says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. That's what it means. That's what it means. When you've got that kind of relationship with Him, you fellowship in the sufferings. In other words, we get just a little taste of what our Savior had to go through. That's fellowshipping in suffering. See, we want to fellowship in blessings or what we consider blessings in stuff. But how many Christians are willing to say like Paul, I want to fellowship in His sufferings? Oh, that's a joy when we get a chance to experience God in suffering. Listen, if you really want, you heard Darion's testimony. That young man he found out who God really is as he was going through his studies. Because it was tough on him. It was a hard time on him. And it's during those times that you and I really get a chance to experience God. Oh, anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Listen, when you way down in the valley, and you're all by yourself, nobody wants to answer the phone. Nobody can get to you during this time. You're all by yourself. You're all alone. And you can't call on nobody. You tried calling mama. Mama didn't pick up the phone. Tried calling daddy. Daddy didn't pick up the phone. Tried calling one of your brothers or your sisters, and they didn't pick up the phone. But then you dial 111. Hey. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. And the line was never busy. He answered right away. And He came through just in the nick of time. Somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. That's why it's important to have Him on the inside. But we learn God, we experience God when we go through some things. Listen. 1 John 4:4 says this, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. You got to understand that. 1 Peter 4:14 says, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Rest upon you. That's why we don't have to fear in being intimidated. We don't have to. People can try to intimidate us. People can try to make us fearful, or come at us to make us fearful. The enemy can throw whatever he wants to throw at us. He says, do not be intimidated and do not be troubled. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Have I got a witness? So we have to understand that. Thirdly, we must be prepared. Oh, I like this one. We must be prepared to boast and bear witness as to why we do good. Oh, my goodness. We must be prepared to what? And bear witness as to why we do good. Look right there in the text. It says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Are y'all with me? We must be prepared to boast and bear witness as to why we do good. Now, he says, sanctify Christ in your hearts. That phrase actually links both of those passages together. It links 14 with 15. Because an understanding what sanctifying Christ in our hearts means is that Jesus has first place in my heart. He has permanent, he has this place in my heart. He's sanctified. He's set apart in my heart. And so because He's set apart in my heart, and because He's Lord and He's on the inside of me, I can deal with whatever comes my way. That's the one aspect. That's verse 14. But then verse 15 tells us that we're to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. Now, here's the other side of it. Because Jesus is on the inside of me and he's sanctified as Lord in my heart, I'm always ready to tell you about his goodness. Oh, let me work with this. Let me work with this. He says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always ready to give an answer to the hope that is within us. Always been ready. Now listen, because he's Lord in my heart and he's Lord of my life, I've gone through some things with him. I've gone through some things with him and he's brought me through every one of them. So when the time comes for me to give an answer to what's on the inside, I'm already ready to give you an answer. Are y'all with me now? Now that's twofold. That's why we have Bible study and we need to study the scriptures so that we can explain the scripture. The Bible says we're to rightly divide the word of God is what 2 Timothy tells us. That's one aspect of it. But can I tell you something else? If you don't know but one verse, if you don't know but John 3:16, if you've sanctified him as Lord in your heart and you've gone through some stuff with him and you've watched how he brought you out of some things, how he's made ways out of no ways, you've got enough in you to turn this world upside down. I don't care what anybody says. I've gone through him through some storms. I've gone through him in the middle of trials and I've seen how he's brought me out. I couldn't wait for you to ask me, why is it that I still do good, even though I'm being persecuted? It's because I sanctified Jesus as Lord in my heart, and I can't help but do good. Listen, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about right out of the scripture. David said this in Psalm 34. David says, I'll bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. But this is the part I like. My soul will make its what? Boast in the Lord. Mm-mm-mm. The humble shall hear about it and be glad. Then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. You know what David was saying? He was saying, listen, I get to thinking about how good my God is. I get to thinking about how big my God is. I get to thinking about how strong my God is. I get to thinking about how mighty my God is. And I need some help in praising this strong, this mighty God. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Not about me. It's not about you. It's about how big, how strong, and how mighty our God is. Our God is. But look what he goes on to say. That same psalm. That's why he said, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And you and I ought to be ready to brag. And we ought to be ready to boast about how good our God is. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I can't help but do good because I got a good God living on the inside of me. And every chance I get, I want to do good so people know about my good God.